paranormal events abound. At the most recent Oregon Ghost Conference, I'll tell you a couple of experiences I had there. Then we hit the high seas to hitch a ride with a boat. But this isn't the love boat. This boat is headed straight to hell. And then we take a look at the story of a young girl, a little 5-year-old girl, who loses her first tooth. She's heard all her classmates talk about the wonderful tooth fairy. He's going to come and give her a little bit of money. Little does she realize this time, the tooth fairy isn't coming alone. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day too. I hope you guys had an awesome weekend. We got a ton of stuff to cover today. So first off, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Everyone get on your feet and give it up for our newest Patreon supporter, Carol Williamson. Woohoo, yeah, wee, haha, yeah, she's running on in, doing jumping jacks, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Carol's been a supporter of the show for quite a while on YouTube, and just talking to her in the comments, very, very great person to have on board. Carol, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys can't support the show financially through the Patreon or the merch store, anything like that, that's totally fine. It really, really is. It really is. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Carol, let's go ahead and get this party started. Hope you're ready for some fun. I'm going to toss you the keys to the Jason Jalopy. We're going to leave behind Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Carol, drive us all the way out to Seaside, Oregon. Recently, I had the pleasure of speaking at the Oregon Ghost Conference. It's the annual ghost conference held in Seaside, Oregon. A lot of fun hanging out with other paranormal researchers. It's really fun meeting you guys. A couple of you guys came out to see me, and you guys will be getting shout-outs in future episodes as well. A lot of fun. And you know, this is the second time I've been to the Oregon Ghost Conference, but this is the first time that I believe there is actually some paranormal events going on. Pretty cool stuff, and it's funny because when you go to a paranormal conference, unless you're going down like Psychic Row or you're having your fortune told, you don't really expect, maybe I'm in the wrong, maybe everyone else does expect this, but I didn't really expect to experience any sort of paranormal phenomenon. But let me go ahead and tell you some crazy stuff. Carol's pulling up the Jason Jalopy. We're walking around Seaside, Oregon. It's a beautiful little town. Under constant tsunami threat, but we've talked about that before. So it was the first day of the Oregon Ghost Conference, and we went down there, me and my friend Sabine. We drove down there. I was a vendor, so I had a table with my little museum that I was setting up to hand out stickers and business cards and talk about the show. You know, as a vendor, we get there early, and we're setting everything up. There's a bunch of other vendors in there. All these tables are getting set up. People are putting out their wares. When all of a sudden, everyone's kind of looking around. They're like, what in the world is that noise? Now, I instantly recognize this noise. This is really funny because, you know, I recognize the noise because I've heard this quite a lot. But a lot of people I was with didn't recognize it. This is the sound of a modern fire alarm. You know, I'm 47. And a lot of people there were people in their 30s who were setting up their booths, but there was a lot of people my age or older. The fire alarms we always heard was ding, ling, 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 ling. It was literally like a metal bell with a little metal knob that was banging on metal. And it was very recognizable because that's how we grew up hearing those fire alarms. Ding, ling, 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 ling. Modern fire alarms, I don't know why they changed it, because when this started going off, boot, boot. People just stood around. People just stood there. I knew instantly what was happening. I've seen plenty of fires in my life, so I've been used to the evolution of the fire alarm. I knew immediately it was a fire alarm, and then the door, this is another thing that they've added into, it's going to sound counterintuitive, but one of the things that they've added into fire alarms or fire suppression techniques in buildings is doors automatically shut. So we're all standing in the vendor area, which was basically like the main hall of this convention center. That alarm's going off. I won't keep doing it. I know some of you guys are trying to fall asleep. You're like, oh man, hope he doesn't keep, this whole episode isn't about fire alarms. I recognize the noise immediately. I see the door shut and I know there's a fire alarm going off. The question now is it a real fire or a false alarm? You got to treat it always like a real fire. But anyways, Sabine had no idea what was going on. She's a year older than me. She didn't recognize the noise. I look around the room and everyone else just kind of standing there perplexed. And the door's shutting is to prevent the fire from spreading rapidly. I was actually talking to a fireman recently and he had mentioned, I never thought about this. He had mentioned, you know why people sleep or why people are supposed to sleep with their bedroom door closed? I always figured it was boogeyman related. He goes, no. And also the boogeyman's not real. Also, how did you get into the fire station? The fireman said, no, the reason why people are supposed to sleep with their door shut is to prevent fire from, if there's a fire in their living room, you want to hear the fire alarm and wake up and then touch the door handle and see if it's cool. And then he has little sunglasses on. It's a Fonzie doorknob. And if it's cool, then you can open the door and try to put the fire out or get out of there. If it's hot, then don't open the door. Just, you got to get out of there. He goes, if you sleep with your bedroom doors open, the fire can just like sneak in. It'll give you time to, the fire's going to burn down the door eventually. Don't be like, oh, I heard some dead rap radio. The door's shut, the fire's over. No, your door can burn down, but it gives you a couple more minutes from smoke and fire to figure out an exit plan. Door shut automatically. Now, I knew exactly what was going on. It was a fire alarm. So I start packing up my laptop because I don't know if it's real or not. I'm gonna throw my laptop and I tell Sabine, hey, it's a fire alarm. Fire alarm's going off. We gotta go. And around that time, a voice came on. It's like, please evacuate the building. Please evacuate the building. And it was that point when people started leaving. When doors shut on you, like, I knew that I came through those doors when they shut. Even though I understand this is fire alarm going off, this is fire suppression system, it does kind of affect your brain. It makes you not want to go through that door because the doors have shut. And I think you kind of wonder, will the doors be easy to open? Like, again, I've been through this 100 times. So I go, everyone, I'm a hero. I'm all pushing people out of the way. Let me get the door first. I'm a hero and a gentleman. Kicking an old lady aside. Let me. We push the door open and all of the vendors pour out. Now, I said we got there early. This is happening like 10 minutes before the ghost conference is supposed to start. And everyone has these speeches in there set up on this certain time schedule. And so we all walk out and we actually walk past all the people who are buying tickets to get into the Oregon Ghost Conference. We had a huge crowd show up. I had about, I think last ghost conference, maybe 20, 30 people were there from a presentation. This time I'd say 60 plus. It was packed. It was like double attendance all around. But anyway, so all the vendors come out of the building. People are in line to buy tickets. People are like, you guys got to leave too. You can buy tickets after the fire alarm. We don't know if there's a real fire in there. So we all pour outside and we're standing outside the Seaside Convention Center. And the fire department shows up. And they got to check out the building. Because we did not know. It wasn't a fire drill. Something set it off. What we found out, and everyone had a big chuckle about this, was one of the vendors, or maybe it was one of the psychics or whatever, wanted to purify and bless their space. So they lit sage and they started smudging around their booth. If you've never used sage before, it is a purification. It's like a plant. It's like a dried out leaf type thing. It's like a bundle. And you smudge it out and it releases a pleasant smell and a lot of smoke. Right? So anyway, someone was smudging their place. The smoke went up. It's very safe. You can't really set anything on fire. I mean, I guess you could, but you'd have to be pretty bad at it. It ended up setting off the fire alarm. So everyone had a good chuckle. Only at the Oregon Ghost Conference could this happen. You're not going to get someone smudging at a model train festival or anything like that. So we all went back in and got started with the conference. It was a couple minutes late. Now, what's interesting is let's fast forward to the last day, really the last hour of the Oregon Ghost Conference, I was sitting in, I got to link this. I don't think I've linked this. I don't think I've shared this with you guys yet. There is a radio show slash podcast called Into the Parabnormal. Into the Parabnormal, hosted by Jeremy. I'm trying to remember what his last name is. I guess I can look that up. But I think it's Scott, but let me double check that. Jeremy Scott, yeah. So anyways, he had me on his show. I'll link that interview into the show notes so you guys can watch that. It was really cool. I've watched this guy do his podcast a couple times live now. It was really cool to be a part of it. And he was interviewing Rocky. He was interviewing the guy who actually organized the Oregon Ghost Conference. It was the last guest on this 3-hour long live stream, live ghost conference special. And all of a sudden, an alarm started going off. Now, it wasn't a super loud alarm going off that's just kind of blanketing the entire building. It's a local alarm. And I'm sitting there. Listen, man, I know what it's like to be trying to record something and you're having background noise. I get it all the time. So I get up, because I'm just in the audience at this point. I get up and I go over to the alarm booth and I'm kind of like seeing what it's saying, why it's going off. And then I go to the front desk and I go, hey guys, that alarm's going off. It's saying that there's a alarm going off in the duct unit, like the air ducts. There's an alarm going off. And so they went and they called maintenance and maintenance came out to fix that alarm. It was just going beep, beep, beep. I'm sure if you listen to that interview he did with Rocky, and I'm trying to find Rocky's last name here on this website, but you can probably hear that. Super annoying. But I did what I believe Jeremy would do for me, right? Try to solve a problem when something's going on like that. He's interviewing Rocky. He's interviewing the guy who hosts this whole thing. So anyways, maintenance crew comes over and they shut it off. And at that point, there are these girls walking around. And they're like, what was that noise? And I was like, I don't know. I go, I think it was just the alarm on the system. However, what I had learned this ghost conference was that this convention center in Seaside, Oregon is haunted. We did not hear that last year. What's funny is that you think they would just announce that on the flyer. You think they would just tell everyone that at the beginning of each time. No, I happened to overhear someone was talking about it and they were saying, yeah, this place is actually haunted. Supposedly, I think it's either the ghost of a little girl or the ghost of a woman or possibly both are haunting this place. They're haunting a hallway down away from the main area. And what I heard was it's so haunted, they've actually sectioned that place off. Visitors aren't allowed in there. It's the loading bay area. What makes me believe that that's actually true is the fact that it's not in a brochure. I mean, it's kind of a double standard, right? If they put it in the brochure, I'm not going to think it's automatically fake. But I can understand them saying, listen, there actually is a real haunting in here. And we have this Oregon Ghost Conference. And I'm sure all you guys would like to hang out in the loading bay. We don't want a lot of people in the loading bay. It is haunted, and we could easily open up access to it, but we don't want a lot of people back there. So I was talking to these girls, and I go, yeah, apparently this building itself is haunted. There's a girl ghost down there. So down in that hallway we're not allowed to go into. And they're like, well, that's super creepy. I mean, I don't know why they're getting scared about that. They are at a ghost conference. Maybe, I don't know. So at that point, the interviews are all over. I talked to Jeremy, and then I went back to my booth, and I sat down, and I cracked open a nice cold Diet Pepsi, when all of a sudden, doot, 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 and the fire alarm goes off, and all the doors shut. Someone they told people no more saging stuff. This really was like the last hour of the convention. We all had to walk out of the building. And this was interesting because now I'm more familiar with the build since I've already evacuated it once. There was something that was really interesting. I've heard this a lot in fire prevention stories. Obviously, like whenever a horrible fire just rips through a building, there's always these big write-ups about what went wrong. Why did so many people die in this fire. One of the things is that people do have a habit of leaving through the doors they came in. It's like, it's a weird psychological thing. They go, a lot of times when there's a fire, you'll have two exits. Like, let's say you're sitting in a movie theater. There's two well-lit exit signs on both sides of the screen. You're staring at them the whole movie, right? You're watching the movie, but in your peripheral, you're seeing these two brightly lit exit signs. A fire alarm goes off in a theater. Almost everybody leaves out the front door they came in. They all will cram into that little hallway. That's, what, 2-3 people wide. To go out the way they came in. Very rarely. People do it, but it's not as much as you should. Well, you're sitting, you're facing the screen, the fire alarm goes off. It's a 15-foot walk, unobstructed, to this exit sign, because everyone's turning and trying to go out the opposite way. People will tend to leave a building the same way they came in it. So, my second fire alarm in this building, I remember that the doors shut automatically. Go, push the doors open, and I saw a mass of people headed towards... There's like two or three doors like that right in front of the building. And there's maybe like 100, 150 people. That might be a little high. Let's say 100 people are walking through the lobby to get through these three doors. And I turned and there was a door to my right that led. It was completely glass door, glass wall. I turned, I looked. No one was walking that way. And I walked out that side door. When everyone else was being funneled in. And if it was a real fire and a dangerous fire, that is exactly what you don't do. They have to tell you, head to the nearest exit. People don't do that. But so anyways, it's the last part of the convention. We all walk out and we're standing out there and the fire department has to come out again. This time there was no fire, no smoke, nothing. The fire department could not determine why the alarm went off that time. And you go, Jason, that's not necessarily paranormal. It sounds like they might have bad wiring or something like that. I don't classify that as paranormal. Well, it could. Rocky Smith, that's his last name, Smith. I was looking that up the whole time I was talking. Rocky Smith, really great guy, puts on a fantastic event. You could go, Jason, that's just faulty wiring. I think it's interesting that the duct alarm went off first. I think that might have been a preamble to something. Could have been a ghost, though. Could have been. But here's another thing. And Jason, you told me that was your whole story? You're like, wow. Could have been a ghost. Here's another thing, though, that happened at the Oregon Ghost Conference I found very interesting. And this was actually before I knew the place was haunted. This was before... Because they don't announce that. That'd be the first thing I'd talk about. When I went to the Port Gamble Ghost Conference, they would constantly say, this building's haunted. This whole town is haunted. But it could be because the Seaside Convention Center, you know, they like having their ghost tours at Halloween and then in March, and they like having their ghost convention, but they may not want ghost stuff happening there year-round. You know, you happen to have like a coin collecting event, and some guys are walking around in Ghostbuster costumes, you know, dude, looking for stuff. They may want to kind of clamp down on that. Anyways, so I was in the audience. I was listening to a presentation by two people that I've met through the course of doing these conventions. Really, really great people. Joss and Monique, they have a podcast called Fright Life. Fright Life is their paranormal podcast. Really great stuff. They do really, really good stuff as well. They were doing a presentation, and in this particular presentation where Joss and Monique were talking about podcasting and the paranormal. I'm sitting at the far right of them. And I'm sitting right next to these huge speakers that are hanging from the ceiling. And there's people sitting behind me. And Monique is talking, and she's giving her presentation, and all of a sudden I hear, it was the sound of a little girl, and I couldn't understand a single word she was saying, and it was layered on top of Monique's voice. So it wasn't like it was hard to hear. You could clearly hear a little girl talking. I just couldn't understand the words she was saying, And it went on for maybe like 10 seconds and then seemed to die down before starting back up. And the second time it started going, I turned around and there was a woman sitting behind me and I go, "Do you hear that?" And she goes, "Yeah." And so I turned back and the voice kind of, I don't want to say it stops, it just kind of fades almost. But then it starts up again and it's going on for a bit longer. And I turn around again and there's a guy sitting next to that woman. I go, "Do you hear that?" And dude's like, "Yeah, what is what is that?" And then eventually it did die down and then stopped completely. The presentation was about 50 minutes. This was only maybe like a minute and a half tops that we heard this little girl talking. We couldn't understand what she was saying, but we could clearly hear the sound of like child gibberish. Generally, there's three or four microphones in the building here. You got Joss and Monique. They have two of them. They each have one on stage. There's a man in the back who has a microphone. He'll come out every so often to speak. And then I figure they also probably have a spare microphone. But I'm not for sure. I know at least there's three microphones. And I'm listening to Monique. I didn't jump up and go, "Ghost!" You know, and interrupt their presentation that they had worked so hard on. But it was definitely distracting. I don't remember what she was talking about. And I remember thinking, and I actually talked to the woman who was sitting behind me after the presentation. We at first thought that maybe someone was walking around with a microphone in the vendor area, which is directly behind the speakers area, walking around with a microphone and was picking up the sound of a child, like a living human girl. But we both thought that, but then we both came to the same conclusion. It was only the girl. The vendor area was so loud multiple times. The guy would come out and say, "Hey, people who are buying stuff, can you buy a little quieter?" Because people in the back row couldn't hear the speakers. Sometimes the vendors and the buyers would get, customers would get louder, and then the speakers, if you were sitting close enough to them. So the fact that we only heard the little girl's voice and not the constant chaos of the vendor area made both of us go, "That's probably not what that was." And when Joss and Monique got off stage, me and the woman and the man, we got up and told them what we had heard. And she's like, Monique's like, "Oh," because here's the funny thing. You don't expect this stuff. Like, I don't record my presentations. Monique was like, "We really do need to start recording these things because we definitely did pick up or possibly picked up some sort of EVP. And that was before I had heard about the haunting in the building. So weird. Again, totally weird. It's not something that you expect, even though you are, like Port Gamble, we knew the building was haunted. You still didn't expect things. There was something odd that happened at Port Gamble when I was on stage with somebody. I was with a panel. I don't remember exactly what it was. I might have talked about it after that. I'll see if I can find that episode in the show notes. But it wasn't this. It wasn't fire alarms, it wasn't little girls, it wasn't that dynamic. But I just thought I'd share that stuff with you. I thought those were some cool events that are possibly paranormal. It's possible the Seaside Convention Center has some rats chewing on their wiring, has some little girl rats who like to set false fire alarms and talk over loudspeakers. It's possible that it was paranormal activity. That's what it comes down to with a lot of this stuff, right? We don't know. But interesting nonetheless. Talked about it a little bit longer than I thought I would, but we still got time. Carol, I'm going to go ahead and toss you. How much time do we have? We got about 20, 30 minutes. I might pull an audible here. I definitely like all that stuff. Let's see. I might save. Let's go ahead. We're going to save the cursed boat. Carol, I don't know if you're a huge fan. She's all dressed up like a pirate. She was ready for the ghost ship one. We're going to save the ghost ship one for another episode. I don't have enough time to tell it. Carol, let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the world famous Carpenter Copter. We are leaving behind Seaside, Oregon. You're like, "Jason, it's barely a ghost story. It's just some stuff that went wrong." Carol, take off that pirate costume and fly us out of Seaside, Oregon, all the way out to Texas. Flying all the way out to Texas over a cursed ship. We'll visit them tomorrow. headed all the way out to Texas. It's the early 2000s. We're headed all the way out to the early 2000s. America's still not ready to say bye-bye-bye to NSYNC. Britney Spears is still breaking hearts with her amazing songs like I'm a Slave for You. Good times, good memories, good music. But none of this matters to the little girl we're about to meet. Let's call her Lisa. She's 5 years old. And while Backstreet Boys are... While the Backstreet Boys wanted it their way, or whatever that song was, Lisa only wanted one thing. To lose her first tooth. Her fellow friends, little kids, are going, Lisa, Lisa, look at this! And holding up a quarter. Wow, where'd you get that, Billy? Well, you won't believe it. One of my teeth fell out, and my mom said, you better save that tooth for the tooth fairy. She'll take that tooth, give you some money for it. Be like, what? What? What did you say with this whole weird economy all of a sudden? What does the tooth fairy need the teeth for? These winged freaks from behind the mushrooms. Where did the tooth fairy story come from? Why do they take teeth and give us coins? But anyways, all of that stuff really doesn't matter because we're going to look at the story of Lisa, and she knows the story of the tooth fairy. Her mom's told her about it. Her friends have told her about it. So when she loses her first tooth, she's so happy. She goes, finally, the tooth fairy's going to visit me. Finally, finally, finally. So she writes a little note to the tooth fairy. Dear tooth fairy, here's my first tooth. Sincerely, Lisa. Draws a little happy face. And Lisa, I think this is a common thing for her. She doesn't specify if this was a one-night thing. She keeps a glass of water sitting on her nightstand. I imagine that's something that she does often just in case she gets parched. She takes her tooth, puts it on the nightstand, puts the letter on the nightstand, has her nice glass of water on the nightstand, shuts the light off, goes to sleep. Hours later, Lisa wakes up. What was that? She says. She knows exactly what it was. The glass of water on her nightstand got knocked off of the nightstand and hit the ground. And it startled her, which woke her up. And Lisa's actually a pretty good witness. She wrote this story. I mean, obviously, at this point, she's like 29, 30. This story happened at the least. It happened in the early 2000s. She said, you know, let's factor in a couple different things. First off, I needed glasses even when I was a kid. I woke up in the middle of the night. I didn't have my glasses on. It was dark. My eyes are trying to adjust from coming right out of a deep sleep to waking up in this dark room. And she goes, all of that you have to take into account. She goes, I remember my eyes were squinting. I'm trying to see something because something clearly is going on in her room, but she's trying to adjust to see exactly what it is. What she can make out is there is a very small golden glow, like this little ball of light flittering around her bedroom. Her first thought is Tooth Fairy. 100%, she goes, oh my god, the Tooth Fairy is real. And it's in my room. And she's watching it kind of flitter around in the darkness of her room. And then it starts to head towards her bedroom door. But before it reaches the door, a new doorway appears right off to the side. So you have the bedroom door. Now you have this new doorway. I don't know how big it is. When I read it, I pictured it small, but it could actually be as big as a normal human-sized door. She goes, I watched this doorway, like this rectangular opening, just kind of appear off to the side. It's on the same wall as her door, but it's like next to it. And she goes, it was this pitch-black void that led into the nothingness. There was zero visibility into this portal. However, this door also had hanging around it red velvet curtains. And this little light, this little fluttering speck of golden glow moving around the room. It starts to head towards this portal, this pitch black void with these red curtains. And she said, as it got closer to the portal, I started to notice the shadows. It's very weird. I don't know what exactly she saw. I've seen shadow men before. It's very weird when you see them in a dark room. It's a shadow darker than dark, blacker than black. It's very odd. It shouldn't make sense, but I've seen shadow people before. She doesn't necessarily see shadow people. She sees shadow animals. As this little, what we can only assume really is like a tooth fairy, is floating towards this doorway. She goes, I look, and all of a sudden there is a parade. For lack of a better term, a parade. It's this line of silhouettes of different animals, and they're also all marching towards that black doorway as well. And she said they are all kind of moving in their own way. She said there was a one that looked like a big cat. She said there was one that looked like a bear who was actually like dancing. He was doing this little jig. He was like moving his arm. He was walking on his back legs and he kept moving his arms. And she thought it was really funny. It was kind of adorable actually to see this little bear dancing in this line of silhouetted animals, of animal silhouettes. And she goes, I don't remember what all of them looked like. I remember liking the bear. She thought that was really funny, watching this bear dance. But as funny as it is, it's still, she knows something's off. Something doesn't necessarily feel right. It's not like she's a child and she's seeing something magical, like a little kid spying on Santa Claus as he's coming down the chimney. Something felt different about this. And really, one of her first clues was that she's watching this line of animals follow this little golden glow headed towards the door. She turns and she looks, though, at her nightstand, and she sees that her tooth is still on the nightstand. But the tooth fairy is leaving. So this isn't a tooth fairy. Like, her mind is starting to kind of put these connections together. And again, this happened over 20 years ago, so I'm sure she had a lot to think about this as well. But, you know, if this is the tooth fairy and it's leaving, why is my tooth still here? She looks at her nightstand. She notices her tooth is still there. She looks back at the parade, and that's when she sees something at the foot of her bed. It's not part of the parade. It's not following the golden glow towards the doorway. She said, I turned and I looked, and there was something creeping at the end of my bed. Something watching her with such evil intent. She automatically knew this was a malicious entity. She gives us very little description of what it looks like. She goes, what she said was, it had, you know how a shark or a dolphin will have that top fin, was a dorsal fin, the fin on their back. She goes, it had two of those. But she couldn't connect it to any other animal. She didn't even say it looked like a human. She just said it felt evil. This was not a good spirit. She didn't get this impression from anything else in the room. And she said, as the golden glow, as this supposed tooth fairy and the parade following her got closer to the doorway, the creature at the foot of my bed just grew bigger and bigger and bigger. Until I did what every 5-year-old child does. I hid under my covers and eventually fell back asleep. Next morning, Lisa wakes up and she's thinking what you're probably thinking now. What a crazy dream. What a crazy dream. She wakes up and she looks at the nightstand. The tooth is gone. There is a letter from the tooth fairy that even at age 5, Lisa could see her mother had written it. It was in her mother's handwriting. But there was no cup of water on the nightstand. And that is when Lisa looked and she saw the cup of water that she had on her nightstand was indeed on the floor. So she 100% believes this was not a dream. She goes, it was the cup of water that fell down, which is what woke me up in the first place. Then when I woke up and the cup of water was down there. She believes this was a paranormal event. She did not give her name at all for this. This was posted on phantomsandmonsters.com. Fantastic website. I check it out every day. Even when she sent it over to him, because a lot of people send stuff directly into Lon Strickler, she did not give her name. She didn't want her name on that. And she said, ever since then, here, I'll just read you this quote she said. Quote, the animal shadows I saw that night haunt my dreams to this day. I don't know if the shadows were fairies or just hanging out with the little gold fairy. So I guess she does still think it was the tooth fairy, even though she knows her mom wrote the letter. I don't know if the shadows were fairies or just hanging out with the little gold fairy, but I only got the sense that the one at the end of my bed was evil. Dot, dot, dot. The one at the end of my bed seemed cold and dark. End quote. So it's something that she's been having issues with for the past two decades. She does believe this is a real event. She still does see these shadows in her dreams. It's an interesting story. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of fairies, to be honest. We've talked about this before on the show. I think they're kind of lame. It's funny, I constantly say that, and yet the elf armada has never come to take me down. There's never been a gnome garrison keeping me from going to bed. I talk a lot of trash about fairies. I've never been... They don't stick up for themselves. If they exist, they're definitely not doing anything to stick up for themselves. I think they're kind of lame. Now, I know a lot of people try tying modern UFOlogy, Jacques Vallée is kind of a fan of this, to old-timey fairy stuff. I would go the other way. I would say it's probably more likely that actual alien visitations were misinterpreted as fairies, as opposed to modern UFOs are actually misinterpreted as... Wait, did I say that right? What I mean is like UFOs and aliens were visiting people for thousands of years. I don't really subscribe to the ancient aliens building monuments thing. I think that takes a lot away from human ingenuity and the will to be creative that man has. But to say aliens are coming back to medieval time, England, Germany, even when those places weren't called that, those were alien encounters that were being interpreted as fairies, because there was no word, there was no other idea for what an alien was. They were taking babies. They were hiding among the population. They did have these powers. The other idea that people subscribe to is it's the opposite, that those were fairies back then. It is this mystical interdimensional element of the fae folk, and what we see as UFOs today are actually the work of fae folk. I think it's aliens all the way down, and other people say no, it's fae folk all the way down. Anyways, I'm not a huge fan of fae folk. I think they're kind of lame, but I do like covering unusual stories. So every so often, you know, the fae folk, they're gonna sneak in through that little keyhole like Tinkerbell. Interesting story. And what I wanted to kind of talk about before we end this episode, I know this is kind of gone long. The first segment was just about fire alarms, bro. Here's a theory that I came up with after reading this story. I have a theory, and this is kind of put our conspiracy caps on for this one. And we'll have to see. Because I think that this, I bet you if we went through past episodes, and I bet you stories you guys have read or heard over the years, you might be able to agree or disagree with this. I'd be happy to hear what you guys think. When something paranormal happens, it's definitely outside of the realm of the normal. That's why we call it supernatural or paranormal alongside the norm. I'm wondering if when a paranormal, because obviously let's take this story at face value. A doorway opened up and this procession of these shadows were walking towards the door. I wonder if by something simply outside of a cryptid. Cryptids are probably more of a biological entity. Bigfoot may be interdimensional, we don't know. But like chupacabra, stuff like that, that's a biological entity. I'm talking about like ghosts. I'm talking about demons, I'm talking about fae folk, really aliens. Some theories are they come from other planets, some theories are they're interdimensional. When you, imagine this, you're standing in your house, your bedroom door is closed, and let's imagine your bedroom's hermetically sealed. Is that how you pronounce that? You're in your bedroom and it has all of the microbes, all of the bacteria, all of the you. Everything in that room is in that room and it's sealed away from the living room. And you open that door to walk into the living room. Anyone sitting on the couch in the living room will see you walk in. But everything else that moves into that room with you that they don't necessarily see, like the bacteria, like the mold on the books that are kind of being dusted up. When you open that door, you enter that other room. You don't see any of that. But it is entering. It is floating around you. There's fecal matter constantly flying out of your bathroom. It's everywhere in your house. You don't see it unless unless you really want to and you have to get like a microscope, put your toothbrush under the microscope. That's actually a better example. You flush the toilet. Your poop goes into the sewer, but fecal matter is spraying all over. Like, Jason, go back to the original example. Fecal matter is shooting out of your toilet, but it's microscopic. You can't see it. But every time you flush the toilet, poop flakes are flying all around. And the same thing, when you fart, what people smell is actually poop molecules. So it's not just a smell. You're actually getting tiny pieces of poop in your nose when you smell someone pass gas. What if when a ghost or any sort of paranormal entity crosses from one realm of existence to the other, that tons of stuff we have no idea what it is comes leaking through as well? When a ghost enters your house, there could be all sorts of unmeasurable energies and life forms appearing with it. It's pushing through the veil. When it manifests, what does it bring? Where is it coming from? That's a big question too. But like, what does it bring with it? I think we have this idea. This is why I love doing this show. Even though right now I feel like my brain's going to explode. Because I have all of these ideas and I can't get them out. We talk about ghosts on such a macro level, but we, like, just think about that. Where are they when we can't see them, when we can't smell them, when they can't interact with us? A ghost in a haunted house, where is it when those things aren't going on? And when it appears, when you can hear the footsteps upstairs in the attic, what else comes through that portal with it? What else manifests in our reality with it? And you go, well, Jason, maybe nothing. Maybe. Or maybe it's something that we can't see and we can't measure, but it's something. That's when I read this story, that's what my head was going to. I thought something entered this girl's room. Something entered this girl's room. Something was in her room. A portal opened up and everything spilled out. Stuff that wasn't even related to the Tooth Fairy came pouring out of this portal. And if you had heard every legend of the Tooth Fairy, you wouldn't have heard about the creeping shadow at the foot of your bed. But it came with it. It came out. It showed up at the same time all of these other funny things were happening. So I wonder if by things manifesting into our world, it leaves a wake. Like a boat going down a calm sea, it's actually leaving a wake that makes it easier for other things to follow it from one world into the other. From the existence of the unreal into our reality. It would theoretically make sense. It may be very, very difficult to pierce that veil. So if somebody else did it, if some other entity, some other force was moving from one dimension to another, it would 100% make sense for other entities to piggyback over. Just like a bunch of NASCAR racers, you're in first place, but you're making it easier for second, third, and fourth to come up right behind you because they're driving in your wake. It's a terrifying theory, because what that means is that every possible haunting, no matter how benevolent it may even be a visitation from a long-lost relative. It may even be the loving embrace of a friend who has passed recently. Anything like this could actually leave an opening for darker forces to come into your life. It's creepy to think about, too. We'll wrap it up like this, because when I was at the Oregon Ghost Conference, I remember I was, at a certain point, getting very, I want to say this in such a way that I don't get disinvited next year. It was a great convention. Everyone did a great job. But I remember there was one point on that third day before the fire alarm went off, all of that stuff, I started finding myself getting really mad over something that was really minor. It had nothing to do with anybody at the convention. But something had gone on, and I felt myself becoming irrationally angry at this event that had nothing to do with the convention. It really didn't have anything to do with me. I found myself getting very, very angry, and I started having these dark thoughts that were out of character for me. I'll think about robbing banks all the time, or how much gasoline would it take to burn down a national forest. I'll have those thoughts. I don't consider those dark thoughts. I was having just like very angry dark thoughts, which are out of character for me. And I was sitting there and I realized, because I spent a lot of time alone, I spent a lot of time in my own head, I can catch myself pretty quickly when I realize this isn't me. This isn't my thought process. I remember I was sitting there and I started having these really dark thoughts, these angry thoughts about a very minor problem. I was getting really worked up about it. And I remember thinking, afterwards, I was actually too angry to process this at the time. It did feel like, this isn't really you. Like, these are not normal. That's for you. Afterwards, I thought, I wonder if something tried to hitch a ride on me. And I actually, because it didn't go away right away. Like, I was dealing with this for a minute, and I was starting to get really frustrated. Once I realized that this wasn't normal for me at all, it's probably like an hour or two at this point, and I start thinking, what if something has hitched a ride on me? What if some sort of negative energy has come in through this place where hundreds of people have shown up to talk about their love of the paranormal, ghost in particular, and something that I don't normally do, I did like a self cleanse, not with like L'Oreal or anything like that, Pond's face scrubber. I actually said a prayer for myself and banished anything that was trying to hang on to me. And maybe the next day or two later, I felt better. But I thought about it. I did think about it, and that's really where I was going with this story as well. I think most people, if not all the people who were at that convention, were there with good purposes. Even if those purposes were just selling services or items, right? I have no problem with capitalism. But even when you're talking about positive spirits and interacting with positive spirits, I think it can make it easier for negative ones to reach out to us. We all know that negative entities can disguise themselves as positive spirits. I'm talking about a positive spirit doing a positive thing, but a dark spirit following in its wake into this reality. Because I know there is not a single person I came across over those 3 days that was negative towards me in any way. I got nothing but love from those guys and for those guys. But that doesn't mean that something didn't sneak in. And honestly tried to get its claws in me. And thankfully, this is true. It might sound like I'm downplaying it all, but or it might sound like I'm exaggerating it. That's what I meant to say. But I did feel like something was trying to just make me very negative. and a little bitter. And those are not things that anyone, people might describe me as a wild card or borderline psychotic. I did burn down all those national forests, but never negative or bitter. Those are words that people never use to describe me. And that's how I felt like in that moment. And I had to shake it off. And I did. And then even after I shook it off, it's still a couple more hours, another 12, 20 hours for me to get back to how I normally feel, which is optimistic and a little insane. So, yeah, I think that it could have just followed the positive energy through. And eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I don't think it targeted me for any reason. I think it was just crawling through the audience looking for somebody. That being said, I think I'm not saying don't go to the Oregon Ghost Conference. You're like, wow, I'll never go there. Apparently, there's a demon that just hangs out in the audience trying to suck your soul. No, no, no. I recommend showing up to the Oregon Ghost Conference. There'll be another one next year, 2025. Hopefully, I'm invited. Hopefully no one listens to this episode that is part of the process of getting me back on stage. DeadRabRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabRadio. Dead Rab Radio is the daily paranormal conspiracy and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day. I'm so glad you listened to it today. Have a great one, guys.